What's going on, everybody? Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, there they are.
So good to see you guys. Welcome to today's webinar. Wherever you are in the world, we are glad that you have joined us today. Pastor Jim was supposed to be hosting today's webinar from India, and Miss Tamara was going to be joining us as well, but unfortunately, they had some technical difficulties, so they won't be able to join us. So you guys are stuck with us today. But
woo-hoo!
It's pretty good because I have all of Pastor Jim's notes, so I'm ready to go. And I also have two of our department heads here at Faith Family Church with us, Pastor Tony and Pastor G. And so we're excited to talk to you and share everything we got about increasing guests at Easter. PT, PG, why don't you guys introduce yourself real quick for those watching?
For sure.
Go ahead, PT.
Yeah, my name is Tony Velasquez, and I'm the Connection and Care Pastor here at Faith Family Church. Honored to be on with you guys, to learn along with you guys, and our desire is to help connect people to know that they're not alone, but there's a God who loves them, and for sure that there's a church family that's here for them too.
Amen.
Absolutely. My name is Jeffrey. It's good to be with you guys today. I oversee our family ministries, which is pretty much from 0 years old to 29 years old. So that includes your nursery, your preschool, kids' life, youth, and young adults. I love it, man. I love when people and parents especially see that we don't just want church to be good for them and for them to have a real relationship with God, but we want that for their whole family, starting at 0 years old, you know? So love what I get to do. It's good to be here with you guys.
There you go. Awesome. Love you guys. So glad to have you on today. Real quickly, like I said, Pastor Jim was going to be on from India, even though it's like 1 a.m. over there. He wanted to be a part, but technology just made that tough, the connection there. So, but he did have an update, and I just figured I would read it to you guys straight from Pastor Jim. Here's what he says. He says, to my dear SCN family, he said, I've been coming to North India for most of 33 years now. He said, I've been a pastor a couple years before we came for the first time. And 23 years ago, we started supporting a missionary church planting team of 30. They have established 543 churches with 21,771 believers in them, in spite of non-conversion laws and significant persecution, which has grown stronger and stronger over time. Open Doors published their first World Watch list in the late 90s. Originally, they tracked the persecution of Christians to aid their own ministries, but in the late 90s, they made it public. And as late as 2011, India ranked number 32 on the World Watch list. That would put them in the third category of the persecuted, which means they face severe limitations in spreading the gospel. Since then, they've risen, sadly, to number 11. They are in category one, which means they are experiencing the very highest levels of persecution. To give you some idea, Iran is number 9, Afghanistan, number 10, India, number 11, and Syria, number 12. Wow. So please pray for them. We spent all day yesterday with the missionaries we've supported since the early 2000s. Now we're spending time in prayer and communication. Our prayer is like Israel and Egypt. The more they are persecuted, the more they'll multiply. We pray Indians everywhere will understand God's call. God calls his church to bless them, not just to import a Western religion. Tomorrow, we will get on a plane and we will dedicate the third house we've built among a people whose economy for 500 years has been alcoholism and sex work. They train their daughters to be prostitutes at 13 years old. 100 girls have been entrusted to us instead of being trained in prostitution. We believe they will change the economy of their people. There were no gatherings of people who had heard about Jesus when we started working among these people. Now there are 7 such gatherings. So we thank God for his redemptive work, and we're grateful for Pastor John Nuzzo and Ms. Michelle Nuzzo of Victory Family Church in Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania, for partnering with us to build the third house. Soon, it will be 200 girls helped, not 100 girls. We dedicate the house Sunday. So thank you so much for your prayers. Sincerely, Pastor Jim. Man, what a joy to be part of something like that. And he just wanted to share that with the SCN family, who we love so much. And I know many of you are doing such significant mission work. And if that's something on your heart and you're wanting to learn how to find opportunities to make an impact like that, just know we're always here to help in any way that we can. It's so great to be able to partner together. And thank you for your prayers for Pastors Jim and Tamara as they're in India. All right. Well, I can't wait to get started talking about great ways to increase guests this Easter. Of course, all of us have hearts to reach as many people as we can. And I know we especially pray to God to reach family members or people that we know during the Easter season. So before we do that, though, let's do really quickly some things that we do every time we get together. Let's do our member shout out, our new member shout out. Yeah. Pastor G, you want to shout out our new members?
Hey, I'm going to do my best. If I butcher some names, please forgive me. All right. I want to shout out Darian Bennett with Illuminate Communicate Church in Phoenix, Arizona. Want to shout out Joy Chastain, Clearview Missionary Baptist in Verbena, Alabama. Pastor Hudgens, the Equipping Center in Greenville, South Carolina. We got Kevin Milburn, Greenville Second Baptist Church in Greenville, Kentucky. We got Howard Navasky in Rivers Community Church in Bentonville, Arkansas. Got Mario Ramos, Build a Foundation in Farmersville, Texas. We got Tracy Reynolds, Grace Fellowship Church in Madison, Georgia. We got Jimmy Rivera, City Limits Assembly of God in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Go Steelers. We got Michael Todrick in Holy Smokes Ministry. I like that. In Fairview, Texas. We got Andre Willis in New Start Ministries in Avondale Estates, Georgia. We got Robert Zimmer, Saved by Grace Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We got Joseph Johnson and I hope I say this right, and I'm going to say it with a lot of confidence. El Cuerpo de Cristo International.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
Come in on, Canada.
Dan White. And on, wow, I did not expect that. In Ontario, Canada. Cool. We got Romeo Joan in Grace Worship Center, Nairobi, Kenya. Awesome. We got Justin Kamalando in Pentecostal Holiness Church in Zambia, South Africa. That's it. We're so glad that you guys are a part. If any of you guys are watching, thanks so much for being a member of this network. We hope that it's a community for you and an awesome resource for you to spread everything that God wants to spread through your ministry.
That's right. It's an honor to be able to serve you guys. Thanks for coming along for the ride. We love and appreciate you. All right, real quick, I want to give a shout out to one of our partners, Pastor G and Pastor Tony. You guys know this couple, pastors, Kim Ewalt. They are amazing. They're from River of Life Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And they just celebrated 30 years at River of Life Church this past Sunday. This is a picture with their kids at their 30-year anniversary. Man, these guys are amazing. They've been with us for a really long time here at Significant Church. They're such a huge support in what we do. He carries such an amazing pastor's heart, and so does she. They're both just amazing. We just saw them at the last retreat. And man, they've just been so faithful to serve that community so well for so long. Their kids serve God and they're there with them in that picture. And I saw their kids posting all over Facebook, just so proud of their parents. And it's just so cool to see. So we love you guys. Thank you for the significant work you're doing there in Hattiesburg. And congratulations on 30 years. We love you guys.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do this. Our last webinar was titled A 30-Day Plan for Increasing the Number of Guests We Minister to on Easter, something like that. I think that was a long version of the name. But the whole point over these next several webinars, the last webinars and the ones that we're doing leading up to Easter, is just to gear up for Easter, you know, be ready to go. And so today we're going to talk more about how to increase guests at Easter. So there were three things that we talked about that we're highlighting. Number one was help each church member fulfill their call. We talked about, you know, Paul talks about each member of the body, right? Same way in the church, just like our physical body. We all have a role that we play. And then Pastor Jim talked about Luke 14, about creating a culture of invitation, about how we're always ready to feed people, but we encourage our people, you know, invite the lame, the blind, those who need the gospel, right? Basically. And so we talked about that last week, developing a culture of invitation. And today we're going to continue on. We're going to talk about developing ways to care for your community. Man, it makes a difference whenever we care for our community. When people see us out there and they see that we're willing to step outside the four walls of this church and love them right where they're at. So we're going to talk about caring for our community a little bit. And then we're going to talk about you know, our services and some production stuff later. But let's talk about the things we're doing to draw the hearts of our community. People are thinking about Jesus this time of year, but we want to be doing good works among them, drawing them, you know, to his goodness. And so we're going to talk a little bit about just practically what we're doing as a church, which is great that we have you guys. It's almost like we plan to have you guys on here for that reason, because we can talk about what we're doing. This year, we wanted to be real intentional. And, you know, each of us are all heading up different kind of things out in the community this year. So, Tony, why don't you tell me, you're spearheading as our Care and Connection pastor. Tell me a little bit about what we're doing through Care and Connection here in the Crossroads area.
Yeah, for sure. So here's the deal. I mean, it comes down to just following the example that Jesus set, that, hey, we want to make sure people feel our hearts. And a big part of that is finding ways to care for them that have nothing to invest in ourselves. It's not about what we receive, but it's about what we can give. And, you know, you've heard people say it over and over, how people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And yeah. So we look for ways to find in our community, hey, where are areas that we can bring care that maybe is overseen? And it doesn't even have to be something complicated. It doesn't have to be some grand event. It's just simply something that shows the heart of Christ that, hey, we see you, you're important, and we want to bring care and love to you. And so some of the ways we're doing that this year, we've done multiple things each and every year, but this year we're focusing on a couple of projects. Number one is we're going to, there's a couple of spots here in Victoria that are lower income areas. They're called Queen City, Silver City. There are a couple of spots. There's a lot of poverty in those areas, homelessness in those areas. And so we've done services and things like that there before. But this time we're just going to bring a big old party to them. We're just going to bring a bunch of eggs for their kids. We're going to bring a bunch of music, a bunch of food, and just say, hey, we see you. We love you. And we want you to know that Jesus loves you too. So that's one thing that we're doing here in the Crossroads area. Another one that's a real fun one to do and super easy, guys. I mean, anybody can do this. And it's very impactful, is we're just doing a lawn outreach. So we're literally saying, having people sign up from our church, hey, let us know if you can help. Let us know if you have equipment that you'd like to bring and utilize. Everybody has lawn equipment. And let us know if you have anybody that you know is in need. So we're particularly focusing on, you know, single moms, the elderly, anyone with any kind of disability that makes it hard for them to care for their yard. And we're literally just going to go and just love them and serve them. That's it. It's so easy. And you'll have a bunch of guys who maybe feel uncomfortable to, you know, quote unquote, do ministry, but they'll go mow a yard. And that's what you really want to go after, is just create an opportunity for people to know that you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to know all that there is to know about the Bible to be ministers of God's love to people. And so with that said, we'll be going around mowing yards. And then once we're done with our list, guess what? We're just going to start going. We'll just go to people, maybe their yards. We'll just go to people's houses and say, hey, we're just going around blessing people. Can we mow your yard? And people are shocked. They're honestly shocked and thinking like, okay, well, what's in it for you? What do you need? What I need to give you? And when you can communicate, nah, man, we're just here to love you and to bring care for you, it makes a big difference. The cool thing is this, is that when you do that, their heart becomes much more open and receptive. The defensive walls get broken down when you say, it's just love. You don't have to give me anything. You don't have to do anything. It's just love. And you know, the one thing I will do when we huddle up before we go out and serve people is I'll remind people of the heart that we carry, that we're doing this just to express God's love. That's it. And when we do it with that genuine heart, what happens is the Holy Spirit does the rest. We've done things like this before, and you know, you find people crying on their porch because there's someone mowing their yard, and then we go up and see if they need any prayers. And they're bawling, thinking, I didn't know God cared about me this much, just by simply mowing their yard, right? So these are just some things we're doing just to bring about care to people right where they're at, where their need is, in simple ways. And I think there's all kinds of ideas you can do, but they don't have to be very complicated.
That's good. That's real good. Pastor G, I know for you guys had an outreach opportunity come to you basically through the family ministries area, which was really cool. You want to talk a little bit about what you guys are doing there?
Yeah, man. So this, what you just said is probably my favorite part about it, is that I didn't have to go look for an outreach to go do. It came to me because members of our church were genuinely connected and genuinely cared for. And, you know, that's just real quick. If you have a church of really any size, there comes a point where the pastor can't do all the care. And you have to hope that the, you know, you're equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, and they're able to go and minister to other people without you having to oversee everything. And, you know, the more people you have, obviously, the harder that gets. So essentially, this is the story. I'll try to condense it. There's this incredible family in our church. They're older now. I want to say in their 70s, would you say, Pastor Tony?
Yeah.
I think they're in their 70s. Yeah. So the wife had taught at our Christian school for years. She taught me and all three of my siblings as well. So she had been there forever. She drove like an hour just to get there every day. And her husband, he's been an usher in our church forever, a prayer partner. He's been a section host. He wears a suit every day. I mean, not every day. I don't know what he wears every day, but he wears a suit every Sunday. And not only that, but just a little bit about their heart. He literally will buy a new Bible every week and find someone who doesn't have a Bible and give it to him. And you know, it's not like they're the most wealthy people in the world, but anyway, they've been going through some hard times. He currently has cancer, and they were getting some work done in their house. And one of the people that was doing the work is involved with me in our youth ministry. And he just came to me and he said, "Dude, like, there's some work that needs to be done. It's, you know, it's pretty rough there. They got asbestos tiles everywhere. If you don't know, those can, you know, contribute to the cause of cancer. He already has cancer. There's just a lot that needs redone." He said, I left and my heart was just broken because they're so full of joy. They're so full of love. They'd never tell anybody, you know, that they need this help. But he said, "But I want to bless them." So we just did some asking around with different people. And as I said, they're very connected in the church. And long story short, like, organically, the people of Faith Family Church contributed $5,600 to go put towards this housework and bless them. So they don't know, but a group of us are going to go to their house. We're going to do a lot of, you know, yard work, work on the wall, just work like Pastor Tony was saying, just stuff to bless them. And then we're going to let them know that they don't have to pay for it. And we don't want, the cool thing is, like Pastor Tony was saying, it's just love. We don't want anything from them. Like, they already serve. They already come. They get, that's not what it's about. It's not, oh, it's a ploy to get them more connected. No, no, no. They're so connected. It's just saying, like, man, God loves you so much and we love you so much. And, you know, God so loved the world that he gave. And one of the greatest ways that we could ever show love is giving. And I think the coolest thing to me is just that this outreach wasn't hard. It wasn't hard to raise the money. It wasn't hard to go find a story. No, no, it came organically because people were connected. That's the thing that excites me most. So I can't wait. We're going out in a couple of weeks and we're going to do that for them. And, yeah, that's the story. That's the project we got going.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So, I mean, I know we're talking about increasing visitor flow. I know you might think, well, doing something for people who go to your church, how does that increase visitor flow? Maybe it doesn't totally, but I just wanted to share that because it's what the family ministry is doing and it's great. But I'll tell you this, it sure will. I think it'll mean a lot to them, you know, and I think, you know, when your people will love their church, that makes a difference. You know, I can't
tell
you.
Can I say something to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, how many people are they connected to that don't go to our church that will go to their house, see what the church did and think, man, maybe I need to be a part of a community like that. You know, it doesn't always, sometimes you bless somebody and it spreads way further than you want. Like, I'm thinking about Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. He, you know, changed her life. And then the first thing she did is went and told her whole town, you know, sometimes like the blessing just strengthens somebody's ability to witness. So it, you know, it might contribute in that way.
Yeah. And same thing for the church family that's helping. You know, there's a sense of pride and just like, man, this is what my church is doing. And it just stirs up. It just stirs up their heart. It just creates an excitement of we're not just talking about it, we're doing it. And so then even the people who are serving are being blessed by that. And then that just stirs up their heart and their excitement for what God's doing. That causes them to be more out, you know, more effective in how they communicate. Man, God's got a plan for my friends, for my family, for people in my neighborhood, in my community. And I want to help. Yeah. I want to help them.
Right. That's it. Yeah. I mean, they may or may not go to the family, you know, to whatever event, you know, the Easter party and with family and talk about the message on Sunday, but there's a good chance they'll talk about what they did over the weekend, helping at the house, at their house.
So
it's just giving people an opportunity to take ownership and it's just loving each other too. Right. So what a cool thing that you guys are doing. I know Miss Tamara was going to come on, but she can't. She was going to talk about what the women are doing. The women are doing nursing home outreaches, which is going to be good. They're going to try to hit as many nursing homes in our community as they can, and just love on them, spend time with the people in those nursing homes, just minister God's love to them, I think bring some gifts for them, some goodies, just do stuff like that. I know we used to go to nursing homes when I was in young adults and stuff, and we would sing with them. And it was always such a good time just loving on those people and reminding them how loved they are. So the women's ministry are going to be doing that. I wish Miss Tamara could be with us to tell us more, but that's a big picture. What's going to be going on there.
And you know, the cool thing with that, Mike, is like, once again, it may not be where the people in the nursing home are coming to church or what, you know, who knows what their situation is, but those nurses who are there watching us just bring life. You know, the cool thing about nursing home, once again, if you're watching it, no matter what your community is, a nurse in a nursing home, so many times it's literally just being present and letting people know that you see them. You know what I mean? Because many times people in nursing homes have the struggle with feeling like they've just been forgotten.
That could be the whole highlight of their week. Like, someone came here today. Right. And then when you know, the daughter of the person who's in the nursing home calls and says, "Hey mom, just checking up on you. How was your day today?" Man, the people at Faith Family Church came by and it made my week. You know what I'm saying? You never know how far the ripple effect.
Yeah, dude. Carries. Just dropping seeds, watering seeds, and see what God does, you know?
Yep. You know, the scripture talks about how it's God's kindness that leads people to repentance, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of what we're talking about is just being kind to people, spreading the love and the goodness of God and softening their heart for really the best time here to share the gospel. Nursing homes. And I love how you guys are just pointing out that on paper, I mean, if we just think, oh, how do we market? We're going to do all that stuff, right? We're going to do social media ads. We're going to do all, you know, billboard, all that stuff. But there's a whole nother side of this. It's just being the hands and feet of Jesus and loving on people that really makes such a difference. Because there's no better invite than a personal invite to church. You know, there's
absolutely
word of mouth. And so getting out in our community gives us the opportunity to give people something to talk about, you know, and to know that we love them. So Pastor Tony, why don't you talk about, speaking of invites, we like to make inviting people easy and sometimes fun if possible. We're trying something new this year. We'll see how it goes, called Invite Your Peeps. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So our whole idea is playing off the theme of peeps and the people in our lives. And so we've got these invitation cards that basically are kind of branded or kind of themed out by peeps. And we're just communicating to our church body that, man, you can reach people that we can't. You know, all the different marketing strategies that we put into place will never be as effective as word of mouth, will never be as effective as relationships that say, "Hey, can you come with me? I'll save a seat for you." And so we're just trying to make a fun way where people are being intentional about that. So invite your peeps. We've got these cards. We're going to be promoting them coming up in the next week, and providing all these cards that we've just printed in-house that are invite cards. Yeah. And then we ended up working out a deal with don't remember who it was, Walmart or one of our big stores here. And they sold us a bunch of Peeps at wholesale. And we're going to be giving Peeps to people. And so we'll give a package of Peeps, say, hey, here's an invite card, a package of Peeps, and go and just have fun with it. Hey, we want to invite our Peeps. And so then you go to the people that you're connected to, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers.
Yeah.
Now we're not providing everyone with every bit of Peeps. We'll give them one and then say, hey, if you want to take more invitations, do so and go buy some Peeps from the store. They're super cheap and it's just a fun way to be intentional with it. But the idea is, you know, Pastor Jim talks about the stat that they say that 8 out of 10 people, who start coming to church say they started coming because they were invited by a friend. We want our church family to actively know, not that they just see the church doing what they can to bring people into the body of Christ, but that they have a sense of, here at Faith Family, we talk about how important it is that we feel the blessing and the responsibility of being a part of the family. And so the blessing of having this as my family, my church family, and the responsibility of being the ones that are actively a part of helping that church family bring life to people. And so it's just a fun way. Invite cards themed out by Peeps. We're giving them little packages of Peeps. Hey, go tell your people because you can reach people that I can't reach, right?
But the whole goal of it, if I can piggyback on that, the whole goal of it was to not be transactional, but instead to be very relational. And in the past, what we had done, and I don't think this is bad, but what we had done is we had made door hangers and we would have, you know, people in the church go and hang these door hangers, which were little invite door hangers, on the doors of their neighborhood, which is good, but it's more transactional than something like this would be, where it says, this is a whole gift. It's a card. It's kind of funny. And I'm going to give it to you. And like the spirit of it is different. So I would say when you're helping people invite, you know, think about transactional versus intentional and relational, because that's a big thing to factor and filter through. And the other thing is this, a lot of people, they want to invite someone, but they don't know how.
Right.
So whenever you put something in their hands to give, it just builds confidence. And as weird as it is, there's such a difference between, hey, will you come to church with me? And something like a card, like, hey, we're doing this series. It's called this. Just look at the paper and you can sit with me. I say that because one time we did this with our student ministry group. I was like, you know what? If Main Service makes series invite card, we should do it too. And so we did it for like 3 series in a row. And I remember getting texts from teachers, 2 different teachers at 2 different of the public schools. And they were like, hey, this whole card thing y'all are doing is awesome. Like they're all over our school. And these kids are just like in the hallway, just like, come to church with me, come to church with me, come to church with me. But if we didn't help them take that step into intentionally inviting somebody, you know, they probably wouldn't have. So I think it's good to know the heart of people that really love your church. They want to invite somebody. How are you helping them? And then when you get into the how are you helping them, I'd encourage you think relational over transactional.
Yeah, man. I think there's power in face-to-face interaction too. You know, so when I'm looking a friend in the eye, that has a sense, there's a power to it. And so we're just giving opportunity for people to have face-to-face interactions with people they're already in contact with and being intentional with it. So it's great.
Yeah, that's so good. And when there's a relationship, there's a lot more trust, right? There's a lot more equity with the person. You know, a lot of people, they've never stepped foot in our churches. They don't know, you know, so we can put something up on a billboard and I think that's okay to do and they can learn about us. But when it's coming from someone you know, love and trust, it's a lot different because it's like, oh, you know, there's just a level of trust there. So good stuff.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
Pastor Mike, real quick. I heard a story in our men's Bible study this week, a guy who was inviting his dad. He's really gotten connected at the church. And he said, man, I really want my dad to start coming. So I invited my dad and he told me his dad's response was this. Oh man, I'd like to, but I don't have a lot of money. Mm. And he said, what do you mean? What do you need money for? He's like, well, don't they normally like collect money? And there's so, I say that to say that having him being the hands and feet of Jesus and him being the guy who says, no, Dad, just come. Like, this place will bring life to you. You know, you don't have, there's so many preconceived ideas and notions and misunderstandings. And we, as people who've been in church for a long time, take it for granted that we come and we know where to go in the building and we know what right. to expect. Yeah. But if you are new, if you haven't been in church in a long time, if you've been in sin and you feel guilty, like there's all these things that play into it. And when we mm-hmm. enable or empower the body of Christ to go and just say, no, man, come as you are and just receive life. There's a God that loves you, man. When we empower people like that, man, life starts changing, you know? So this guy who thinks, oh, I have to bring money, like almost like he has to pay to get in. No way, man. That's not what church is about. But that takes our church body being intentional to have conversations like that.
That's good. Yeah, it always amazes me how little people really know about what's going on inside of our churches. You know, like when you talk to them, they'll say, oh, I thought y'all were like this, or oh, I thought it was this way. And what better way than people who come, who have been here, experienced it, and can say, hey, no, this is what it is. Come check it out with me, you know. It's always amazing, you know, because we live and breathe it, right? We're here every week. We think everybody knows what we're doing every week, but that's just not the case. And real quickly, let me recap this before I get into our last point, guys. And I want to remind you, this has been a multiple part webinar. So we did our last webinar on this. We'll be doing one more webinar on this. But if you want to go back and review any of that, it's on our website. I don't remember if I said this earlier, but it's on our website. It's also on our YouTube page. So please feel free to check those out. But three ways that we've talked about to increase guest city. So we talked about help each church member fulfill their call. That's a little bit what we're talking about now is each part being the body, whether with serving, but also a culture of invitation, taking ownership and feeling responsible for the people in their lives and giving them an opportunity to come and hear the gospel and experience church. And what are we doing to mobilize them? What are we doing to remove barriers and to motivate and make it easy for them to do that? The second thing we talk about is develop ways to care for your community. Why? Because you can't always just expect that they're going to come into the walls of your church. Sometimes you want to get outside the walls of your church and meet them where they're at and show them God's goodness, mm-hmm. show them God's kindness. So we talked about ways to do that as well. And now real quickly, here's the third one. Talks about creative production that draws your community. And this could be production, this could be events, different things like that. And we're not just talking about events and production for production's sake, right? Here's how we view it. Events, productions, these kind of things, they do a few things. One, they give an opportunity for someone to step into our building that may never come to a church service, right? Then they get to come in and experience the presence of God. They get to rub shoulders with people at our church. They get to hear the gospel. I was just talking to one of our staff members. We had our ladies conference this past weekend, which was so cool. And this girl was telling me she was out somewhere in town and this lady stopped her and said, hey, are you with Faith Family Church? And they had seen her leading worship. And she said, yes. She said, I just want to tell you, I came to your ladies conference this weekend and it changed my life. Wow. She said, I've never been to your church. She said, I never would have gone to your church, but I heard about this ladies conference and I went with some people. She said, I'll be back Sunday. She said, you know, I'm in, you know, that she got saved and all of it. And I was just thinking, you know, she may not have ever felt comfortable coming to a church service. She probably didn't know what to expect, but sure, I'll go to this women's thing with some of my friends. And
yeah,
now she gets to experience God and see what church really is. So that can happen with events. You know, we do events that are the same way, fall festival or different things. And, mm-hmm. but it gives people an opportunity to come to a place that they feel comfortable and safe coming to. The second thing, and it's a great thing to invite people to, right? So you can easily invite people mm-hmm. to these kind of things. The other thing is like when it's productions, people will come because they're connected to people in it. You know, like, hey, my nephew's acting in this production or singing in this production.
Yeah, he's a tree.
Yeah, he's a tree, but you got to come support. right? It's like, well, I don't know about church, but I'll go watch my nephew in a play or whatever. And, but, you know, it gives them an opportunity to experience God and to experience his people. And so there's some definite benefits to that kind of thing that we've seen. And it just tears down walls in a lot of ways. I realize it's probably too late for this Easter, but I do think it's, I don't want any of the creative people being like, hey, stop talking, because I might have to pull off.
Yeah, you're giving my pastor way too many ideas.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm not saying you can't do anything, but I am saying that it's, I think it's definitely something to keep in mind as you enter Christmas, Easter seasons. You know, we want to equip our members well to be, you know, ambassadors to their family members. And, you know, you said it earlier, Pastor Tony, 8 out of 10 people who attend church services say they did so because somebody invited them. So everything that we're talking about here is helping people be able to invite friends, family, neighbors. And
I think it's important too, man, like just to be aware. I mean, I'm sure we have all kinds of sizes of churches on this webinar today. And as somebody mm-hmm. who's been in a vast variety of sizes, once again, it is not about how do I say this? There's just a lot of opportunities no matter what the size is. So mm-hmm. even if you did, you know, you gathered 20 people to be in a choir for an Easter song special. I mean, we're doing that for what, Palm Sunday. We got our creative kids are going to be singing a song. And so that's going to be impactful because grandparents are going to come and family friends are going to come. So, you know, you may think, wow, man, I don't have a special soloist, or I don't have all this budget, or I don't have some kind of drama director. Just know anything that gets people excited about what they're doing will naturally cause them to be excited to just to spread that word with other people, you know?
Yeah, that's really good. And I'm glad you said that because, you know, one thing that, so we typically haven't done our productions or anything like that on Easter Sunday. We'll do egg hunts or some fun thing on Sunday, but typically we'll do them the week before because we want to be able to invite people to come to Easter Sunday, you know, on the back end of that. But this year we're doing it a little different. We're not doing a big production or anything like that, but we're doing something every week, right, Pastor Tony? So you just mentioned we're going to be utilizing kids on Palm Sundays. We're going to have different actors involved in, you know, services through the month. We're going to have a Good Friday service where people are involved. We're going to be having choir specials. So we're actually spreading all of our creativity and stuff throughout the month, but we're making sure that all month leading up to Easter, you know, people are involved, and, you know, we're having creative ways to involve people in services. And so that'll make a big difference. Let me see. Hey, mom's watching. I got a text from Miss Tamara here. She said, hey, Mike.
What?
And that the ladies are collecting books to take to the foster care.
Oh, yeah. We are doing books too.
Pretty cool idea.
And that's another super simple thing, man. I mean, there's people who've had kids' books in their closet just because their kids are grown up and they're just sitting there in the closet and they're collecting books. You know, so our women's ministry is collecting all kinds of books that they can help. I forget the name of the ministry that they're doing it for though. But just to give them away, man, what a great opportunity, you know?
Simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Simple. And honestly, those people are probably glad to declutter their house a little bit. Yeah.
I'm probably going to take advantage of that. Yeah, exactly. Do you guys have anything else you want to add before we wrap this thing up here? I know we're coming towards the end of our time. This has been really good.
Pastor always talks about, hey, don't put pressure on, but passion in. Pastor Jim says that often. And when Easter comes up, I think it's very important that we keep that in mind. It's not about putting pressure on ourselves or on our staff to perform or produce something so that we can get higher numbers. It's about stirring up the passion in people's hearts and placing vision in front of them about the impact it can have on people's lives. You know, I love talking to people who are well-connected in the church now. Hey, man, what actually brought you here? Man, I came to this choir special, or I came to this women's conference, or I came to whatever it was, or they mowed my yard and I thought, man, I'd give it a shot. You know, and it's like, holy cow, that simple one thing was the thing that not only changed that person's life, but the trajectory of their family's life, you know? And so I just think as you're thinking about Easter or big weekends throughout the year, that for us as staff and for our people in the body of Christ, that we stir up passion in our hearts of the opportunity we have, and not pressure to produce a certain number or a certain preconceived idea of expectation, you know. So I just think that's important, because no matter what we do, our heart's going to be most important. The heart, the genuineness we do it with, is going to be insurmountable value. And we want to make sure that us as a staff and the people that our church congregation that are doing it are doing it from a heart that's full of passion to see God's kingdom advance.
That's really good. Really good. Pastor G, anything you want to say before we close up?
Man, he said it all right there. I don't have anything to add.
Yeah, that's good. Well, hey, I'm gonna read something that Pastor Jim had in his notes here that I think is interesting. He talked about how these numbers that came from a prominent researcher within the Southern Baptist world. He said that for every 100 people in the average church, churches will lose 32 of them this year. One to death, 7 who move to another church, 9 who move out of the area, and 15 to declining attendance frequency. Now, we hope it's not that bad for us, right? For any of us, and hopefully it won't be. But we do have to get good at attracting people, you know, to church. We sure can't convert them, Pastor Ro, or disciple them if they don't come, which is true. If we can't get them into the doors of our church, we don't have an opportunity. So That's what this is all about. That's pretty much it for today. I do want to say, like I said earlier, last week was also, it was called a 30-day plan to engage your community for Easter. So this was kind of a two-part webinar leading into Easter. So if you want to go back and check it out, it's on our YouTube. I think I misspoke earlier. Next week is not about, or 2 weeks from today, Pastor Jim will be back. It won't be about Easter. Here's what it'll be about. It'll be how to get the best out of our volunteers without burning them out. How do we mobilize people for ministry? Do it in a way where, you know, they're doing it effectively without burning them out. So that's going to be a really good webinar. He'll be back on that. In 2 weeks, Pastor Jim will be back with us. He'll be back from India. So I hope you guys were blessed with this today, man. I know I was encouraged by it. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. It's always such a pleasure to spend this 45 minutes with you over the lunch hour. Thank you for keeping Pastor Jim and Tamara in prayer, and we will keep you guys in prayer for your services this weekend. We love you. We appreciate you. Pastor T, Pastor G, either of you guys want to pray us out?
Pastor G does. He said he's made.
All right. Yeah, I would love to. Also, isn't it daylight savings time this week? So just a friendly weekend reminder. Friendly everybody, weekend. Turn those clocks.
Do we lose or do
forward.
We get
forward?
We lose.
Gosh, dude.
Hey, Lord bless you and keep you. We lose an hour.
Yes. I'll mention that in my prayer then. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, first and foremost, we just humbly ask that you help us get enough sleep in light of daylight savings time. But more than that, God, I pray for every pastor, someone in ministry listening to this right now. God, let them know that it's not by might or by will, but by the Spirit of the Lord that we get things done. Lord, let them not tend to any other ministry more than they tend to their relationship with you, in making sure that we stay connected to the vine. You're the vine, we're the branches. Apart from you, we could do nothing. So God, in everything that we do, with all the different things we're trying to get people, you know, to hear the good news of Jesus, let us live the good news of Jesus every day, because we're staying close to you. Bless them this season as it comes up. I know it's busy, but God, help them do a good job of working hard and resting well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys. Hopefully we'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a great weekend.
See ya.